Let's get the show on the road, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio out of downtown Northfield, Minnesota. And we are at 95.1 FM. And, of course, for over 50 years, 1080 on your AM dial. And we are streaming at kymnradio.net. And then you just tune into the button that says to listen, click here. And if you want to hear any past programs, you can go to kymnradio.net, go to the Wayne Eddy Affair, and then look up the individual whom you want to listen to or download. And you can even do that with my guest this morning, because this is appearance three. Hello, James Killian is my guest. Hello, James.
How are you?
I am terrific, except that, well, I like it like this. I like it like this, except, you know, I would like the snow on Christmas Day. And does it snow in Medford, Colorado? Or excuse me, Medford, Oklahoma?
Yes, it does. Not often, but we get some snow.
Okay. So what was it like as I kind of jump ahead here to move to a state where it, well,
where it snows a lot?
Yeah.
You just get used to it. It's nice because it keeps all the dead grass covered.
Yeah.
I mean, in the winter in Oklahoma, it's just brown.
Well, I like springtime after a heavy snowfall, and I can find my hoe and my rake, and when the kids were around, the hula hoop and all the stuff.
Oh, right.
In 1991, we had 31 inches of snow on Halloween.
Wow.
And that was really something. But my late friend Ted, I went over to his house on Christmas Day and took him for a ride on my motorcycle. And then on New Year's Day, I did it again.
Oh.
And this is about 5 years ago. So I'm used to it being pretty nice out at this time of the year. But anyhow, my guest, James Killian, is the head football coach at St. Olaf College, and this is appearance number three, and he is the third youngest child of a large family. His sister named Jackie, that's 8 years older. Then there's Mindy and Tammy and Justin, and then my guest, and after that is little sister Amy and his little brother Jason. So you had a good time growing up in Medford. How many states end in ah? Oklahoma, Minnesota, North Dakota.
Probably quite a few. Yeah, I couldn't rattle them all off, but.
Well, we were talking a lot about football and a lot about where you grew up, and I was wondering if you had a chance ever to go to Hughes Pharmacy.
I have not.
You know where it is?
I do not.
Okay. How about, have you ever gone to KMB Liquor?
Where's it at?
Medford.
Oh.
No? Okay.
I must be new.
How about Cancun Mexican
yes,
food?
I have been there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was waiting for that smile.
Yeah.
Like, how does he know that? And, of course, on my drive
through. Did some research.
I didn't blink, and I picked up some names there.
Oh.
So here's the deal. You are, of course, not only the coach of the St. Olaf Olies, but you also had a nice career in college basketball. And
football.
Okay, I'm trying to work this.
I got you. I'll keep you straight best I can.
All right. Okay, there we go. So anyhow, one of the things that I wanted to get to is the fact that you played for a professional football team and evidently against the Vikings.
I did.
Okay, so people that didn't hear the first two or can't remember, you're 6'4" or 3"?
You know, I'm 6'4". I'm just under 6'4".
Okay.
Probably 6'3" and a half, but
okay.
To the NFL or to our pro scouts, I was 6'3" and 7/8".
Yep.
On the pro day, what I did is I just stacked some cardboard on my heel.
Honestly.
And then
goodness.
I put my sock on. Yep.
Really?
Yep. Any little bit.
Yeah.
Any advantage.
Okay. And where did you appear to try out? When they look at football players, what do they call that?
Well, I had a personal workout for the Kansas City Chiefs, and then we had a pro day. And on our pro day, we had, I'm trying to, like the four or five teams really is all we had. You'd like to have more, but
where was that?
It was at on our campus, the University of Tulsa. That's typically what they do. Every school, certainly every Division I school, will have a pro day. If you have some, you know, assuming you have some guys that would have the ability to play at the next level, then the scouts, certainly from the region, will come and evaluate you in person there.
Do you call that the University of Oklahoma, Tulsa?
Or no, it's the University of Tulsa. It's okay. No affiliation. It's a private school. I think it's Methodist, I think, is what it was originally affiliated with.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's its own private college.
Oh, you know, because I'm kind of blitzing my brain here, so I don't forget, I'm going to ask right away, what are your thoughts about those players, we may have talked about this, that have chosen not to play the final game of the season? One of them is from Minnesota, and then there are others, and the reason is they don't want to get injured, and then there goes their career in the NFL on the last game of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I think you asked about it briefly. I think it's selfish. I will say that, but I understand why. You don't want to risk injury if you feel like you have an ability to play at the next level, and if you were to get injured in that final game, how would that affect you monetarily? Which could be a big thing. You'd just like to see guys finish out their commitment with their team, but I certainly understand if you're playing in a lower tier bowl. I don't think you'll see that with guys that have in the four teams that are playing the playoffs. No one's not playing in those games, but I think it's just something that's going to continue to happen in college football. So,
well, that's you expressed my thoughts on that too. You know, on one hand, hey, come on, you're the ones that got them there. I got the team there,
yeah.
Big part of it, and now you're not going to play. But then again, you pop a knee,
yeah,
your
right.
value goes down considerably, if not permanently.
Yeah. I think about I think it's Willis McGahee. I think that was his first name, running back for Miami. He got hurt in the national championship game. This would have been 10 years ago or more. I mean, it was a nasty injury. He was never the same. I mean, he would have been certainly a first-round pick, and ended up getting picked maybe in the later rounds and then had a rehab, but never had the career that he probably would have. Michigan had a player last year that tore his ACL in the bowl game versus Florida State. So it does happen. You hate to see it happen as part of the game. And I'm trying to think. McCaffrey was the first guy that I remember setting out. Was that 2 years ago? He set out a bowl game. And, certainly hasn't affected his NFL career. He's a really good player for Carolina.
And that brings me to the Minnesota Vikings and to talk about their game last Sunday. You're in Oklahoma. You support Denver, I would assume?
We people do. We supported the Cowboys. That's who we – because we got them every Sunday we got their game.
Well, as you know, the running back for the Minnesota Vikings had a great day last Sunday against the Miami Dolphins, and Calvin Cook, I believe his name is, and they talked him up, and boy, he was the greatest thing ever. You know, maybe he's going to be the savior of the team, and then he got injured, and he was out for the season. Then he came back, and he got injured, and then he was out for the season. And then he came back, and he wasn't called on by the offensive coordinator very much during the season that's going on right now. And last Sunday, the new offensive coordinator called on him a whole big bunch. And I have to tell you, I changed my mind about him in regards to, it's a big choice that you took, Vikings, and then, mm-hmm. First round, I believe, and then nothing, and then nothing, and then this season, really nothing. And I'm thinking, this guy just isn't what we were told when he was drafted. And then Sunday, against admittedly, Miami team that had no will, if you will.
Yeah.
So what did you think as a football coach of did you watch?
I watched some of it. It's just hard. It's hard to sit down and watch a whole game, but you never know what a guy can do unless you give him the football. So listening to you, it sounds like they didn't maybe give him enough opportunities.
No, they didn't.
And then when he got his opportunity, he made the most of it. So See what happens next week when teams have a chance now to game plan against this offensive coordinator and see how he calls a game, and see, you know, kind of this play selection that he likes. And then I'm sure that the defensive game plan will probably be a little bit different. Maybe they'll be thinking, hey, we got to stop the run, which I'm guessing that that's what every NFL team would do. But
And of course, that makes the passing game better because, they, you know, it's we talked about it. But by the way, don't worry about being repetitive, you know, like saying, well, last time I told you, because everybody in radio, the turnover, you know, a lot of people didn't hear our first couple of shows. Well,
so we could just start from the beginning then.
I think I wanted to do the whole thing from your job at...
we talked about Europe, I think, was the last thing that we really talked about.
Yeah.
As, in closing.
So let's just kind of do a wrap. First of all, you played for the University of Tulsa, and you played, if I'm correct, a
eight-man in Oklahoma.
That's what it was. Yep. I had that in my mind. But
well, I played nine-man in Minnesota, so I understand.
Yeah. You were the quarterback, and then you get out to the University of Tulsa, and you have to compete against other quarterbacks, and you ended up with the job.
Yep.
Doing a great job. And what was your favorite play? And if you might even have the call in your mind right now. What was your favorite play? And did you call plays on the field?
I never called my own play on the field. We did have, audible checks where you'd go in the line of scrimmage and you had two plays to choose from. And you pick the best one based on the look that you got. But in terms of going to the field or, you know, going to line of scrimmage and having the whole menu, could call any play in on the offense, I never had that ability. But I think that's kind of something from a bygone era.
Yeah, in my era.
Yeah, and not saying it's bad. Probably the higher level you get now, you see more of that. I think you probably see a seasoned quarterback being able to really call his own plays. I would guess that like a Tom Brady or a Rodgers guy would probably be able to do that. But anyway, I've got a few that pop into my mind. We had a chance to score a touchdown when I played in Hamburg. That was we set the first quarter. Sat on the bench and watched, and then had a chance to really evaluate what plays were working. And so we had a four verticals. All four receivers go vertical, including the tight end. I noticed that he outran the inside linebacker when I was watching. And so when I got in the game, we called that same play. I think we called it dancer. I think that was our verbiage for that play in that particular offense. And so I turned to our tight end and said, if you beat the inside linebacker, you know, we'll score a touchdown. And lo and behold, he did, and threw a good pass and caught it and scored. So that was fun. Unfortunately, you know, and you hear like the quarterbacks being mic'd up for those games. I guess, unfortunately, on that play, it would have been nice to be mic'd up. That would have been good for TV, right? There were probably more occasions where it's probably good I didn't have a mic on. But that one comes to mind. The last play in my high school career would come to mind. It happened to just be a two-point conversion to in Oklahoma in eight-man football. We have a mercy rule. So anytime you're ahead of
a what rule?
A mercy rule.
Okay.
So if you're ahead of your opponent 45 points or more at halftime or any time after, then the game's over.
Oh.
My last game in high school, we were chasing some records, one of them being most career touchdown passes, and that would have been an eight-man national record. And I think I was maybe I was three or maybe I was four short going to the game, but we ended up getting it, and we got it on the last play of the game. We ran a little swing pass and hit a back out of the backfield and ended up putting us up over the 45-point margin. And then also set the record. So,
does it still hold?
I don't know. I would assume it would not, but, that was 1999. So that's almost 20 years ago now.
When a record is broken in the NFL, you'll find the person who had that record say, well, I'm glad that they broke my record. That's the way it should be. And you sometimes think to yourself, I bet you they are kind of ticked off because they like to have the record.
I would agree. It probably depends on the person, who the person is, and maybe who broke the record. But I do know is that Drew Brees broke Peyton Manning's record, and they had him interviewed and talked. What are you going to say? I mean, you're going to get on national TV and say, no, I wish you wouldn't break my record? No, you're not going to do that. But
records are made to break.
It's good for football. Yeah. I mean, it's good that they can, you know, make airwaves with that.
Our guest this morning is James Killiam, head football coach at St. Olaf College. We're going to take a brief break and come back and find out how many countries you played in regards to your European football career. We'll be back in just a moment.
Commercial Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
If you are looking for a last-minute gift idea, check out Burkhart's Meyer Shoes in downtown Faribault for useful Christmas gifts such as long shoehorns, shoeshine kits, Yak Track ice grippers, smart wool socks, and sheepskin-lined slippers and moccasins for both men and women. While you're in, check out the ladies' winter shoe clearance sale with over 600 pair of ladies' shoes and boots, all sale priced and now out on tables. All of us here at Burkhart's Meyer Shoes wish you and yours a most joyous Christmas holiday.
Hi, I'm Kathy Olson. Navigating the unfamiliar land of senior care can be daunting. We're here for you. Millstrom Commons offers the care and services you need and the independence you want. Renting one of our assisted living apartments provides you with 3 meals a day, served restaurant style in our dining room, weekly housekeeping, and the option of adding personal supportive services as you need them. Our staff's on duty 24/7 to provide that much needed peace of mind. If you're searching for options, give me a call. I'm here for you.
We're back on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN, Northfield, Minnesota. My guest this morning is coach of the St. Olaf College football team, and we're glad that he's here this morning, Mr. Killiam, Coach Killiam, James. Jack Frost nipping. Little Christmas break song. This is Faith Hill and the Christmas song. Have you ever had chestnuts?
I've never, not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Maybe I've had them chopped on a salad and didn't know it.
Yeah. I have never had them that I'm aware of. But they had, I had some on the winter walk a couple weeks ago. And I missed that. So here's the deal. When you played in Europe, what country did you play for?
Well, I played for, a city, Hamburg, Sea Devils. Mm-hmm. There were 6 teams in our league at that time. And at that time, they were really trying to migrate all the teams into Germany. I think it was, it just took off the best in Germany. We had the best fans and then we were one team in Amsterdam. So those are the two countries that we played in. We played kind of a home and away with everybody. So the vast majority of the time was in Germany.
Well, in Denmark, they had the Aarhus. I can't remember their nickname, but they had a pretty good thing going there. And for folks, here's the deal. James had the opportunity to meet a lot of other just-out-of-college people in European football, which is surprisingly headed up by, or not surprisingly, by the NFL. And so the people like yourself that are playing for foreign country, Germany in your case, the scouts are keeping an eye on you and everybody, I suppose, on the team. They then contact the team that, how did you end up with, was it Kansas City?
I got drafted by them. I got drafted in 2005.
Okay.
I went to training camp and played. And then I, unfortunately, I didn't make the full, the 60-man roster, 61-man roster. So then I re-signed with them after the season, and then I went and played in Europe.
Do you get a signing bonus?
I didn't get a signing bonus the second time. Okay. Well, I think that's the, when they say free agent, that's, you know, the emphasis on free in my case.
Okay. When you were in Europe, all expenses paid?
Yeah.
And then earning money that you spend?
I still spent it. But if you went out and did anything, you had a, you know, your own money. But in terms of housing and any meals, those were all covered. And then it was nice. I don't think everybody knew this at the time. They found out pretty soon. The quarterbacks made more money than everybody else. So whether it was like $1,000 a week or whatever it was, we made maybe $1,200 a week. But so,
well, good for you.
Yeah, I was happy with it. I wasn't going to complain.
Is it as tough playing in Europe as it would be in training camp in regards to going 100% and then also thinking, gee, I don't want to get hurt because I...
No, I don't think anyone thought that way. I mean, at least no one that that I was aware of thought about getting injured. You know, we practice in Europe just like we practice in high school, just like we practice in college, and when I was with the Kansas City Chiefs, I mean, you still practice hard. You just have to. Less risk of injury in practice just because most of your practices are really non-contact. Obviously, the games are. They did have rules in place for the quarterbacks in terms of the defense could not run certain types of blitzes, so they couldn't bring more guys than what your offensive line could block.
That was a rule.
That was a rule.
Game day?
That was a game day rule, so they wanted to try to mitigate the hits on the quarterback or make sure you didn't get blindsided. But I will tell you, as games got tight, especially down in the, you know, later in the game, you should expect a few illegal blitzes as a quarterback. It just...
Was it more like tag football then?
No, it wasn't tag. It just, okay. For example, like a you know, if you've got five offensive linemen, they couldn't bring six on a blitz or four to a side, if you will.
Okay.
But it would happen. Not that anyone was sad or mad about it, but yeah, you still got tackled. All those things. They try to make it the best they could to help the quarterback. So.
Did anybody, how many years did you play football in Europe?
Just one.
Just
and that's
one.
Typically, for the quarterbacks for sure, you typically didn't go back a second year. Other players might, but that would be it. It really was a developmental league, new guys, send them over there, and then the next year would be all the new, you know, the new crop of, mm-hmm. of young and up-and-comers. So you really got one opportunity to kind of make or break it, and if you press somebody, maybe you make a roster, and if you don't, then there's a new wave of people that they're going to be looking at the next year.
Did you in that year that you spent playing and you mentioned that you had a good fan base?
I think so.
Okay. And were there any players that went up to the NFL after doing that year with you and that were your teammates?
Yes, but no big names. Like, they're not like a household name. I mean, they played and they had NFL careers. Guys that I played with, that I played with in Europe as well. I don't think anyone would recognize their name. I didn't. I mean, the names that people do recognize that played in Europe, there's a lot. You know, Dante Hall, who played for the Kansas City Chiefs for a while. Kurt Warner. Warner's probably the most I guess.
Well, he's
name
big
recognition,
yeah,
right?
Hall of Famer.
Yeah, Hall of Famer played over there. Adam Vinatieri, he'll be in the Hall of Fame, I'm sure. That's the kicker. Yeah. So a lot of players went through there that ended up having great NFL careers, but more so did not. More so you never heard of.
How about when you had some time off? I assume you had a day off.
Yeah, we did. If I was. I mean, they're not going to do this again. It's probably never going to happen. A great thing, what they should have done, because during the season we would have a day off, and then there would be, I don't think we ever had a bye week, but something occurred every, you know, during the season where you got an extra day off. I wish they would have given us our schedule ahead of time and let us know whether we were going to be practicing or not, because we could have taken a trip. Like, you could have. I mean, Europe's not that big.
No,
and it's really not that expensive to travel. So that would have been nice. We talked about, you know, a group of, teammates, like maybe going to Rome or something like that. But we just never got our schedule in enough time. What I did do is when we played in Berlin, we had the next day off. So me and, two or three other guys ended up staying an extra night in our hotel and then just took a train back. So that was fun to spend an extra night in Berlin. That was probably the most to see. I'd already been in Cologne prior to, so I kind of had seen the sights of that city. But that was about it. And now Hamburg itself, I think it was 4 million people. So there was still a lot to see and a lot to do when you did have some downtime. But for the most part, you were there, you know, playing football.
What about the acceptance? Did people look at you? Let's say you were walking down the street in Cologne or wherever you got an opportunity, and you had your linemen with you or a couple of your linemen, which I assume would be big people. Did the host community, Hamburg, did they go, oh, American football player?
I don't think so. And really, I don't know that you would have picked me out of a lineup to say, hey, he doesn't belong here, until I would really talk or not talk, I guess, in that case. Maybe when we're all together in a group, I would say not just a couple offensive linemen, but when a group of us were going and doing something and riding the train, that's when people would notice the most, mainly because we're all speaking English.
Yeah.
But I think other than that, I mean, there's a lot of big humans over there too. So if you weren't in a big pack, I think no one would know any different. I did like to, you know, kind of go about the city and I had met a guy who'd lived there who was younger than me, but played in the European leagues in like the lower levels, and he was from Hamburg. So kind of a village, if you will, outside of the city, probably 45 minutes to an hour. So I had some downtime, so I traveled out and visited him. And I don't think it's uncommon for, you know, early 20s, guys and girls probably the same, to live at home still there. So I had a dinner with his family, his mom and dad, and he had a little brother. But his mom was an East Germany Olympic athlete, and she was a thrower. And so she spoke pretty good English. And so we could have some conversation. Ultimately had been the stepdad, and he didn't speak any English. But it was kind of funny around the dinner table how we were still able to communicate with each other with just like laughs and stuff. Like I could tell he was kind of ripping on his stepson just by the way he was talking. And I would laugh, and he would look at me like, do you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, no, but I get the idea that you're making fun of him. But she had some interesting stories in terms of, you know, pills or shots that they would give her, and she never knew what they were or why, other than obviously they were performance enhancing drugs. It was just very, very fascinating. Just some of the people that I was able to meet, and just by a lot of it by chance.
What did she make for dinner?
We had, it was like a pork chop, really what it was, but I just grew up on chicken fried steak and fried chicken. So, I mean, we had pork chops too. So the fact that we put like some type of jelly or relish on our meat, I thought was different. As I've traveled more now, it's not so uncommon. But they also had some type of potato, that I don't know how to explain it. It was like a potato ball, but it didn't really necessarily taste like potatoes, but it was good. I'll tell you that. I can remember that. And, unfortunately that was the only time I went out and ate with them, but it was nice to get a home cooked meal, even though it was German food.
Did they use the knife as their utensil to put the food in their mouth?
No, we did not.
That happened in Denmark.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going, holy cow, they used the knife to...
Yeah, we did not do that.
They could balance peas on there like nothing. Huh. I tried it and I went, That didn't work. We're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. My guest this morning is James Killiam. He's the head football coach of the St. Olaf Olies, and we have him in Europe, but we're going to get him back to America and also find out how he ended up in Northfield, Minnesota from Medford, Oklahoma. Have you ever been to Gun Brothers Arms?
I haven't. I know where it is. Yeah, I know. I've not been in there, but I'm aware.
Okay. Now, guns are popular in Oklahoma. I don't know what the rules are, but...
It's the Wild West.
That's what I was going to say. We'll be right back.
This holiday season, don't look any further than Eco Gardens in downtown Northfield when it's time to pick up your holiday decor, including custom wreaths, garland, and centerpieces. And don't forget the Christmas tree. Stop by and let Howie and Jenny help you pick out the perfect Christmas tree and the extra special touches to complete your home's transformation into that special holiday place to enjoy and share with others. Eco Gardens is locally owned and takes pride in providing the community with high-quality Christmas trees and holiday accessories. Stop in, warm up around the fire, and browse the large selection at Eco Gardens.
Apex Electrical Contracting in Northfield hopes everyone has a wonderful holiday season filled with joy. Apex will help you with all of your electrical needs, whether it's residential, commercial, light industrial, remodels, or repairs. Call Scott for an estimate at 645-0170. From all of us at Apex Electrical Contracting, Merry Christmas.
Welcome back to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
Now, have you ever heard of Doris Day?
I have heard of that name.
Well, Doris Day was a movie star, and she sang and she danced, and I had a huge crush on her when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, she was the cutest thing in the whole wide world. We're hoping it snows for the holiday, but right now I want to know more about what it's like to be in Europe playing American football, being drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs, and as a quarterback, our guest this morning, St. Olaf College football coach, and James Killiam was the quarterback all through his football career. And when you were in Europe playing for, what was the name of the team?
Hamburg Sea Devils.
Sea Devils, yeah, you told me that more than once.
When we played bad, they called us the Sea Pickles.
When you were with the Sea Devils for that 1 year, right, mm-hmm. one season. By the way, what is a season in Germany or Europe?
When we played, it was typically the season ended in June, so we probably started in April. But the year I was there was the same year that the World Cup was in Germany, so we finished in early May, which was unfortunate because the springtime is a great time there. And so it was really just starting to kind of pick up and get exciting. Then we had to leave. It would have been fun to be there for the whole month of May and into June.
Was your coach a former player in the NFL?
I don't think so. Jack Bicknell was our head coach. He'd coached for a while. I think probably most notably at Boston College. He was the head coach for Boston College when Doug Flutie, threw the Hail Mary. Was it beat Miami?
Yeah.
That he was the head coach there, and then his son was played on that team too. But Sam Ratigliano was a longtime coach in the NFL. Coached for the Cleveland Browns. Was the head coach for the Cleveland Browns. Ironically enough, strangely enough, he's from the Bronx, but he played football at the University of Tulsa as well.
Oh, did you have a bond with the guy?
The best we could, I guess. I mean, we're separated by many years, to say the least.
So somebody is watching the practice and the games all the time, wondering which one of these one or two or five people will make it to summer camp in the States.
Yeah, and what I really think is most of the guys do make it into summer camp and into fall camp, into training camp from there. They obviously filmed all of our games, and all that footage was sent back to the teams to evaluate. We didn't have anyone at practice that I'm aware of evaluating us, more of just evaluating game tape. But again, another opportunity for young players to get exposure is ultimately what it was, is mm-hmm. why you went.
Did you ever get to see any of the videos, for example, in the film room?
Yeah, the film that we watched after the games to grade the film and watch opponents was the same film that they would have.
Okay.
Have access to as well.
How did you feel in that position, just graduating from the University of Tulsa? Now you're over in Europe, and you know eyes are on you. You're drafted by Kansas City, and you got a signing bonus. And then after that, you're making just enough to probably more than most people when you're in Europe. I'm assuming that.
Yeah.
But what's it like to be under the microscope and yearning to be a professional quarterback?
I guess I can only speak for myself. You just knew that was the case. It was not any extra pressure or anything. I mean, from the time you start playing sports, whenever you start at a young person's age, you have to understand that you're being evaluated. I think it's just kind of inherent with competition. So you just become accustomed to it. You go to high school and you play in college. You try to play at the highest level you can. You're being evaluated every day in practice. You're being evaluated in your games. And it's really no different in the NFL. I mean, it's obviously at that point, it's your job. You're not going to class or anything like that. You're getting paid to play. So you should take it seriously. And again, I would say you're professionals. And if you're not, and if that stuff bothered you or got into your head, you're probably not at that level. You probably never get there. If you can't produce, I guess, under a microscope, if you will. You've probably already been weeded out. You probably didn't compete very well in college either. When you got an opportunity, you probably wilted then.
Well, the season that you were there, it broke up in the early spring, mid-spring time,
yeah.
Which meant that Kansas City was going to have their summer camp.
Correct.
Immediately, almost after you get done in Europe.
Yes.
And do they write you a letter, or do the coaches in Europe say, hey, you're going to have to be in Kansas City at this time for this?
No, none of the coaches in Europe had any affiliation with anything in terms of the other teams. You were communicated with directly. I knew when I reported. And so when I flew back from Europe, I flew back to Kansas City. Everybody flew back to their allocated teams. Unfortunately for me, when I was in Europe, obviously the draft occurred, and they drafted a quarterback, Brody Croyle, out of Alabama. So I knew right then that I was done. Like, I'm done. Like, when I get back, I'm going to get cut, regardless. Like, it's just the nature of the business. You just know it's going to happen. So I came back. They do a physical to make sure that you're healthy and everything's okay. You clear your physical, and then you get cut. And that was it.
Were you fodder for the whole camp time so that they could have three different quarterbacks doing the, giving the linemen, et cetera, in the defense an opportunity to, learn, and they use you and then say at the end, you're out?
What do you mean in terms of like running scout team and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we all run scout team because we don't have very many players, so we have to, service our offense and service our defense. So even if you were I ran scout team at different times as well, but no, you never get hit. Like, no one ever hits you. It's not physical
but
at all.
I guess what I'm getting at, you knew when they drafted that fellow.
I knew I was going to get cut. Yeah, there's no way I was going to be.
But did you go through the whole?
Oh yeah. Then go home.
So you're fodder. You're just being used.
Well, what you're thinking is then if you can put enough good things on film, then another team will pick you up. I mean, that's really what you're trying to impress somebody else now.
Now, did they have an assistant coach or whomever come down and you say, coach wants to see you, bring your playbook?
No, not at that level. I didn't see the head coach then. I actually just saw one of the player personnel people. I shouldn't say not at that level. Maybe if I was a better player, maybe the head coach would see me. Dick Vermeil cut me in person the first time, and then the second time, we had a new head coach. Herm Edwards was the head coach. And I just met with the player personnel, and he's like, yeah, we're going to, you know, obviously go another direction. And we talked for a little bit, and that was that.
Did you ever have an opportunity to play in like a preseason game or an exhibition?
I did.
Why don't we save it, and we'll come back to that. You remember that part, okay?
I'll remember.
Okay. Our coach, our friend this morning on the air with us is a fellow by the name of James Killiam, head football coach for the St. Olaf Olies. We'll be back and find out what it's like to play in the NFL.
This holiday, take everything you love about Christmas and wrap it in red. Hi, this is Dan from AeroAce Hardware in Northfield. We have the perfect gifts at the perfect price. Come on in for top brands like Weber Grills, Steel, and Toro Snowblowers. Plus, get the trusted advice you've come to rely on. Get ready for the holidays at your neighborhood Aero Ace, the helpful place. Now through Christmas Eve, round up or donate at Aero Ace Hardware to help our local food shelf, the Community Action Center of Northfield.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
The harvest is in at Syngenta Research Station in Stanton, and we are hard at work in the labs and the offices evaluating the data. Syngenta Seeds knows the holidays are a time to celebrate and be thankful for our many blessings. It's also a time we can enjoy the Randolph High School Christmas Concert. Syngenta Research Station in Stanton is a proud sponsor of the Randolph High School Christmas Concert, and we'd like to wish everyone a happy holidays.
We're back on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio out of Northfield, Minnesota. This is Doc Severinsen, and the name, well, let's see if our guests can name that tune.
It's the Nutcracker?
Yeah, Dance of the Sugar Plum.
Oh, okay. There. I don't know the official name.
Yeah. When I think of Doc Severinsen, I think about the suits he used to wear. He wore some, I liked, some pretty loud clothes. Our guest this morning on Kim, James Killiam, and we have him coming home from Europe, and it's time now to try out for the Kansas City Chiefs, and the first time you got cut at the end of camp, right?
I did. So I went through preseason my first year there.
Oh.
I did. So when I got back from Europe, really my NFL career was essentially over at that point. I ended up signing with the Atlanta Falcons later, but... when I was playing for the Chiefs, my first preseason game, we played against the Vikings. And so I was the fourth quarterback. So as the fourth quarterback, you don't get a lot of reps. You get some at the end. But what you never get to do is the two-minute drill. So you never really get to do a live, live practice of orchestrating the no huddle. You're calling the plays at the line of scrimmage. Now, a lot of it's still coming through the headsets, but you have to communicate it. And so you really just have to watch. Now, if you've watched the preseason, you know that the fourth, third or fourth string quarterback, they typically get in at the end and they have to run the 2-minute drill, which they've never practiced. So I just had a sneaky suspicion that I'm like, I know how it's going to go. I'm going to get in at the end and I'm going to have to run this 2-minute drill that I've never done before. I mean, I've done it before, but never with the Chiefs or never done practice. So
was the score important?
We ended up losing. It might've been probably a 2-score game. I mean, it wasn't like if we go down and score, we win. But so anyway, I get in, it's kind of like, hey, you're going to go in the next drive.
First of all, you played the Vikings.
We played the Vikings in the Metrodome.
In the Metrodome. Okay.
Yeah. So we're behind. I don't know how much. I don't really know. I just was told I'm going to go into the next drive. Now, inevitably how it went down then, the Vikings had a long drive. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get one opportunity now. Maybe they had 5 or 6 minutes left in the game and they went on a 5-minute drive. They score a touchdown. They kick off. We get the ball. We return it maybe to the 23, 24-yard line, like a minute 25 maybe left. It was under 2 minutes. I do know that. And so, again, just what I had anticipated, I'm going to run the 2-minute drill without any reps. And so you feel some anxiety then. Like, it's one thing to do something that you've practiced. It's another thing to go out knowing that this is how you're going to be evaluated on something that you've never practiced. So minute 25, minute 26, whatever it is. one of the coaches like, hey, you got one timeout left. And I'm like, I don't think we have any. Then Coach Vermeil's like, no, you don't have any timeouts. So my response to him was like, even better. Like, let's just make it worst case scenario. Let's go. No timeouts. But we end up taking it down. You know, we get down. We're inside the 10-yard line at this point. Time's running down. We talked about this again. How many plays we go into a game with? It's probably over 300 plays that we have on our ready sheet, and our offensive coordinator said, just mark off any plays you're not comfortable with, and those are the plays I won't call. I'll just make sure I don't call them. I marked off one play. I marked off one play. I'm like, this play just doesn't make, not that it doesn't make sense. I just didn't. Of all of them, I was fine with.
You were comfortable.
There was just one. That. I just like, I don't like this play. I don't. So I marked it off. Obviously, lo and behold, that's the play that is called. So I'm not familiar. I'm like, this. I don't. What is this play? And so I try to get it out in the huddle. I don't think I really communicate it very well. I'm in with guys like myself that aren't probably as familiar with everything either. And I mean, I'm not doing a very good job of communicating the huddle. We're supposed to motion to a formation. I notice when we get into when we line up that this receiver's already in the formation. So I'm like, well, maybe he knows something I don't know. So I kick him in motion. He looks at me. I look at him. And I kick him in motion again. So he goes in motion. I basically just turned it into a quarterback draw, drop back, let everything sort out, and it was able to run it in for a touchdown. So, but it wasn't really what we're supposed to do. But anyway, we scored, which was great. That drive ended up, I ended up making some money. I will say that the next week my agent called and I had some card deals now. So like your Tops or, you know, whatever your, you know, I don't even know what the card companies are now, but at that point, Upper Deck and all that stuff. So I was able to, and it was based on that. They don't know who's going to be good. So they're watching the games as well. And if someone does something, hey, this guy comes in one series and takes the team down and scores a touchdown, maybe there's something to him. Now, I wasn't listening to the, well, obviously listening to the game, but our GM was on the game, was on the headsets, or in the booth, I should say. And they were kind of, I think, praising me, and he was like, not really praising me. So those are all bad signs when that happens, but they were more talking about the other three quarterbacks, and that's okay. That's just sometimes how it works. Now, there was a person in attendance that day that I met later. We talked about, we can talk about it again, but my wife now was actually at that game watching. You know, she's a native Minnesotan. And I think there was, for the Vikings, there was a guy that was playing that was from her high school. And so I think it was neat for her to kind of go to the game and like, oh, you know, I know a guy on the team. But that was after we had, you know, we'd met and started dating. We started, you know, talking obviously about different experiences. I was like, you know, I was with the Chiefs, and she's like, oh, I was actually at that preseason game. Now, I don't think she remembers watching me play at that point. She probably was never really concerned with the game. But
well, speaking about watching, did you watch yourself on the Metrodome television?
Not when I was playing. I mean, the screens weren't as big as they are now.
Yeah.
Where you can, you know, and I was never, I guess, out in the open where I could be running and then looking up and seeing, because inevitably someone would have caught me. So.
You know, that's one thing. I don't know how to accept it. When, for example, a punt return or whatever, while the player is actually live running, mm-hmm. and they'll look at the screen while they're running towards the goal line, and you know, on one, you say, well, he wants to see how close the guy behind him is. Two, he wants to see himself run.
I would say it's probably more the first part, that they're running. Hey, let me take a peek. Is someone gaining on me? Where are they at? So I can protect the ball. I mean, how many times do you see someone strip the ball from behind?
Yeah.
If you have the awareness, which, you know, we don't have that. We don't have Jumbotrons, obviously, at our level, per se. We do, I guess, at some of the schools. But it's just having an awareness. I think the more confident you are with the ball, with your assignment, then you have that extra time, if you will. It's probably not extra time. It's just you just have so much confidence in your ability that, hey, I can take a peek at this Jumbotron.
Yeah, and that would be a thrill.
How neat would that be?
Well, Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to, well, unfortunately, I think the Miami Miracle was a little bit more exciting than
New Orleans. Yeah, right, yeah.
But I just often wondered about that. Well, I'd like to be able to see myself running down the football.
Not many people have that opportunity, right?
No. And I think it's just wonderful that the Wolves have allowed the worked with the Minnesota Athletic Department, the State of Minnesota High School Association, and let players play in the Dome.
Right.
And also use their practice facilities in Eagan for games. I think that's a pretty good marriage.
I think so. I think that's a great opportunity for those kids that, maybe most likely will never get a chance to play in there to be able to do that as a high school athlete. I think it's good PR for the Vikings as well.
I wonder if they think the MIAC would ever go to neutral ground outside at the practice facilities or even in the Dome.
They used to do that. My first year here, we played Augsburg in the Metrodome.
Oh.
So I've played in the Metrodome against the Gophers. I've played against the Vikings, and then I've also coached a game against Augsburg. So I don't know. It's pretty neat. I haven't done anything in the new stadium though, other than watch games.
Yeah, and maybe that
it would be fun. I think it would be great for our players too to have an opportunity to do that. Now, if we did it, we would have to either convince an opponent to give up a home game, or we would have to give up a home game ourselves to do that.
Or you guys could play Carleton. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yes, it would be. The neat tradition that we have here is the winning team gets to walk downtown to turn the Eagle.
Yeah.
So you'd lose that. I wouldn't want to lose that. But yeah, maybe. And then even playing at the facility in Eagan would be pretty neat too.
Yeah.
Maybe that would be more suited for us.
You mentioned turn the Eagle. I'm sure some people are saying, what does that mean? Well, we'll tell you right after this important timeout on KYMN Radio, a friend you definitely can count on.
Hi, I'm Angie Taylor, Director of Life Enrichment at Three Links Care Center in Northfield. We offer daily activities at each of our facilities, including independent senior living, assisted living, care center, and memory care. The activities range from exercise classes to sing-alongs, games to gardening, from bus rides in the countryside to painting fine art. Activities are personalized for the individual. Please call Three Links at 664-8800 or find out more at threelinks.org.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Best wishes for a safe holiday season come your way from your friends at Kenyon Ace Hardware. May the peace of the season follow you all year long. The staff of Kenyon Ace Hardware thanks you for your patronage and looks forward to serving you again next year. Kenyon Ace Hardware offers a full line of steel chainsaws, shovels, Ace, and Valspar paints.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
You love your pets, and the Lonsdale Feed Store has just what you're looking for this holiday season. Lonsdale Feed has holiday heggies, snug and tug toys, a wide variety of dog and cat treats, and even clothing and walking harnesses. Lonsdale Feed also has 30 different varieties of dog and cat food, plus catch and fetch balls and sticks. This year, give your pets something to be excited about on Christmas morning when you shop at the Lonsdale Feed Store. Steve and his crew would like to wish you and yours a safe and happy holiday season, and they look forward to serving you in 2019.
Wonderland, winter wonderland, wonderland. Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening, a beautiful sight.
You don't know who this is, do you?
I'm going to guess Bing Crosby.
Dean Martin.
Dean Martin, okay.
You heard of him?
Once or twice, yeah? Well, of course, yes, I do. Okay, I do. Yes.
We are live and in color from our studios in downtown Northfield, Minnesota. In the studio is my guest, St. Olaf College head football coach James Killian. Have you ever had to go to a Stitsworth funeral home?
I have not. It was a different funeral home when I was there.
Okay. I just did a little research about Medford. It's a small town.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. How many did you say, 1,000?
That would be my guess. I don't know if in your research you found a more accurate number.
I didn't. I just wanted to, drop names.
Yeah. And, because it was the Hills Ely Funeral Home when I was there. They've since retired.
All right. At 4.5 minutes before 10 o'clock, the question was, not a question, the comment was that both Carleton and St. Olaf, when they play each other, they have something, a rivalry going, and whoever wins that game gets to turn the eagle. And when you first heard about that, what did you know what they were talking about, or did
no,
they have to explain
I,
it?
Yeah, of course, right? Yeah. If someone says turn the eagle, I wouldn't have, I didn't know what that meant, but I found out, I mean, immediately, right? The team that wins goes downtown and to the square, and then the eagle faces whichever school won, it faces their campus. So, unfortunately, my first year here, we lost when I was at Carleton. We got beat by the Olies, and then my second year, we beat them. We beat the Olies, hadn't beaten them in many years, and then obviously come back and been on the other side. So I don't know how many coaches have been on both sides, but I guess I've not been on the losing side as an Olie, and that I would like to continue that streak.
Now, when you march down to Bridge Square to turn the eagle, is it like in uniform after the game?
Yeah, it is. It is. So what we did this year when we played at Carleton, which is a little bit closer walk, and everybody, you know, we guys stay out and take pictures with the goat, and then we also have a cereal bowl now, you know, because of Malto Meal, but I guess it's post now. But anyways, we have those guys take off their, go in the locker room and switch out of their game pants so we can get the laundry started, but then they keep their jerseys on.
And shoulder pads?
No. It used to be, I mean, some of the traditions and that I was aware of from guys that had played for me, that they would go in full uniforms, go turn the eagle, and then go to the bars.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And they're full, yeah. Full.
That's
full,
back,
yeah.
That'd been in the mid-70s.
Well, I think even more recent than that. And
some 21-year-old seniors.
Right. We don't do that. So we had the bus, and then once we were done, we bused back to campus. But
what about the cereal bowl?
Well, obviously, you know, with Post here in town, I'm guessing people still call it Malto Meal. That's what I know it of.
Yeah, me too.
But having that, you know, having that as a trophy for that game, I think is a nice addition.
I think that's a cute idea, if you will. And but what, is it did Malto Meal like contribute to the athletic department, and that's how that came? Do you have any idea of the history of it?
I'm guessing I don't know the history of it. It's not all that. It hasn't been going on all that long. Maybe the last 10 years, maybe a little bit longer. I don't know for sure. I do know that when I was at Carleton, Malto Meal used to donate our cereal, because we would start earlier in the day, and we wanted to save money and not use the dining hall for breakfast. So they donated all of our cereal for that. We don't do that at St. Olaf. I don't know what they do at Carleton now, but I do know that they have helped both colleges out in that regard. And any further donations, I'm not aware of.
I mean, what a great play on names, huh? The cereal bowl.
It's perfect.
I mean, that's something I hate to say it, but I just can't pull it out of my head of knowing about that. So the cereal bowl.
The goat overshadows all that.
Yeah. What is the deal on the goat?
Well, I think that started with basketball back in. I'm gonna have my dates wrong. I want to, and hopefully one of these two are right. 1917, 1913, something like that.
Well, okay.
It started in basketball. Then I don't know when football started. Maybe 10 or so years after that, but it's been swapping back and forth since then.
You know, what's a goat? Why a goat? you don't know. Okay.
I've read the story, but I just know we play for the goat, and it's a trophy that it looks more like a frog. I mean, it really does, but we want to keep it. The basketball's goat looks more like a goat. Ours is just a you know, piece of wood that's been painted.
Sure.
It's kind of a goat sitting on its hind legs with its front legs up by its cheeks.
Mm-hmm.
But
Well, I'll tell you what, let's take a break, and what we're going to do is get you to Northfield and how you ended up at Carleton and then making the switch to St. Olaf and how long you've been in town and all these social questions, all right?
Sounds good.
The head football coach of St. Olaf College is my guest here this morning on KYMN 1080 Radio, and it is time to play a little bit of Christmas music and then come right back. And I don't know if you've ever heard of this woman, but her name is Cindy Lupner. Do you know who that is?
I do. Is that girl just want to have fun?
Yeah. I think she has eczema.
Oh, okay.
Because she's on television advertising some lotion to help people with dry skin or whatever. I pay attention to all those things. Feels like Christmas.
Well, starting to snow.
Oh, by golly, there it is. Oh, by golly, there it is. A little bit of rain, it may turn into snow. So hopefully it's going to look like Christmas. We'll be back in just a moment on the Wayne Eddy Affair and continue our conversation with James Killian, the head football coach at St. Olaf College.